quickly with a little swat to Maddie's rear. But his wife was somewhere in Alaska. He gave Maddie a sly smile, which she returned.
"Thank you, Daddy," she grinned. "I love you."
He laughed and ruffled her hair. "Come on, let's get out of the bathroom and get you some breakfast, then I'll call the school." Maddie didn't eat much of her oatmeal. Maybe she was burnt out on it. He'd given it to her every morning for the past week, he realized. He wasn't the most creative in the kitchen. "You want some eggs?" he asked.
"No, thank you," she said. "Can I watch some YouTube?"
Frank knew that the videos she would watch would lean toward the spooky. She was always sneakily showing him videos with surprise jump scares. "How about we put on a movie?" She made a little face just for a second, but then her face brightened.
"Five Nights at Freddy's?"
"You're really trying your luck today, aren't you?" he chuckled. "You, little froggy, are way too young for that movie.
All of my friends watch it."
"How about Soul?" she harrumphed.
"What? I love Soul." "I don't."
"All right, what else do you want to watch? Nothing scary."
"Fine, let's watch Moana."
"Moana it is. Clear your plate." She dumped her full bowl of oatmeal into the garbage can and snatched a blanket off of her bed, heading to the couch to snuggle in. Maddie was asleep in 15 minutes, curled beneath her soft blanket. In her sleep, her breathing was definitely labored. Every once in a while, she would whimper a little. Frank touched her forehead again. Still not hot, but her skin was a little damp. She was sick. Chapter 2. Shelley's phone was buzzing on her hip, and her heart gave a double beat as it always did, as it had for 10 years. She had just accepted that every new call would give her that moment of anxiety, which she would push aside to answer, and then she would get to work. It was her supervisor.
"Hey, May, what's up?"
"Welfare check. Neglect."
"How many kids?"
2. 3 and 5. Kindergarten teacher called it in. 5-year-old is still in diapers with a bad rash." Shelley told herself it was just information. Neglect, abuse, it was her job. The softness that had gotten her into the job had been ground down after the first year. It had to be. She would have quit a long time ago if her heart broke every time she saw a dirty, starved little face in a trash-filled house, empty of food. She did hope this one had a working toilet. That level of filth was a little harder to shake. For that, she would need her meds. For that, she would have to push away the memories.
"Text me the address. I have time right now."
"Awesome. Thanks." The address came through a moment later, and she plugged it into her GPS. It was a neighborhood she knew. Not a good one. The white ghetto. At least it wasn't a black neighborhood. She never felt right pulling the black kids as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white lady. Part of her said she didn't have the right, but she'd do it if she had to. And sometimes she had to. Shelley pulled up in front of the house, knowing that her car looked like that of a social worker or undercover cop. Resisting the urge to pop one of her pills, she was almost out and it was early, as always. She scoped out the house. There was a keep out sign in one of the front windows. She heard dogs barking. She called May.
"This may need to be a co-response," she said.
On rougher cases, the social workers were required to request a police officer escort, ever since that shooting in Mayton.
"Let me see if they have anybody available. Hold on."
Shelley waited, hoping it was Rogers and not Sinclair or one of the others.
"They don't have anyone right now. There's apparently a standoff in Acres. You'll have to wait."
The barking dogs had quieted down. Shelley eyed the house. There was a pot of dead flowers on the porch.
"It's fine. I think I'm good."
"You think?"
"Yeah, I'm good.
Check in 15 minutes.
Will do."
Almost without thinking about it, Shelley washed down a Zan before getting out of her car. She locked her doors behind her, went to the porch, and knocked. The doorbells were always broken, so she had stopped bothering. She heard a scuffling behind the door, but then nothing. The kids were probably home alone.
"Hey, sweetie, are you okay in there?"
she said loudly and waited.
"I'm here to help you." "My mommy's not home,"
she heard a small voice. A boy, she thought.
"Can you unlock the door? I just want to check and make sure you're all right."
She couldn't go in the house without a court order, or unless she believed the child was in immediate danger. But she wanted to lay eyes on the kids.